If you're going to a church that it's not, you're not changing, you're not growing, yes, well, get in a going church where you grow. Because life and death.
Life and death.
Scripture says life and death's in the power of the tongue. You want your tongue to say the word of God.
Today, Gloria Copeland's special guest, Billy Brim, reveals how you can be changed from glory to glory. Stay in the Word of God. Look at the Bible like a mirror and see yourself in Christ. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim is back with us talking about the glory.
Yes.
Billy, we're glad you're here.
We want to see
the glory manifest.
We want to see it, Gloria.
I know it.
God's presence, in the glory of His presence, things happen. And before we leave here, we're going to be a glorious church with God manifesting Himself through us.
I receive that.
Now, at the beginning of 2014, really what He said is, it's time. He said to me one line. Here's what He said. In 2014, the church must don glory.
I don't see any option there.
Must, and it seems like it's saying it's time.
Amen.
It's time to put it on. So He gave that to me knowing I had a background, knowing what the glory of God is, and we've already gone through it, how that He created man and He crowned man with glory. Adam wore glory.
That was His will.
See,
He
put
did it.
On glory. Mm-hmm. Glory can be your clothing. Adam wore it, and so he could fellowship and work with God. But he fell. He sinned and fell short of the glory. God showed me a vision, and I put it in this book, and I'm going to just read it to you to catch up where we were yesterday, and then to go on past it. Early one Sunday morning, I was meditating on these things in preparation for the class. I was fixing my hair in front of the wide mirror in our only bathroom before waking the family. From behind me, high and to the right, I heard a voice. To me, it seemed audible. When the question came, I knew it was the Lord. Do you know Romans 3:23? My first thought was, I'm glad it's one I know. He knows what you know. He knows what you don't know. And I was brought up Baptist, and we led people to the Lord down the Roman road. And this is one of the first steps. So I turned around to rather glibly quote it to him, and I said, yes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory. And then I saw the fall from the highest heights to the lowest depths. And I literally swooned kind of in slow motion at that bathroom counter. And immediately a voice came from heaven like a ticker tape, and it said, but the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory. And it entered me, and it picked me up. And then the voice spoke, the revelation I'd glimpsed. That's what's happened in the fall. I crowned man with glory, man sinned, and fell short of the glory. I saw him fall to heinous depths. I saw the circle of glory. I saw that man was crowned with glory. He fell from the glory. Through Jesus Christ, he can return to the glory.
That's right.
Then in a flash of revelation across my spirit, I saw the predicament of the fall. To the right, high and lifted up, was the place of the throne of God. To the left, low and very low, stood Satan with man cringing at his side, actually behind him. Between the two places, there was a great gulf fixed. I heard these words. You always look at the fall from man's point of view. I want you to look at it from my viewpoint. Within my spirit, I said, I'll be happy to if you'll show it to me. The reaction of a natural man, the voice said, to a fallen son is to grab him and clasp him to his bosom. Had I clasped Adam to my bosom, I would have consumed him. My glory would have burned him up, and in him mankind. Satan would have stopped my words from coming to pass, for I had spoken that man would have dominion over the work of my hands. Then I saw my older son, Terry. He stood tall, broad-shouldered, and thin at the waist with a large silver buckle. fastening the leather belt around his blue jeans. I felt an urge to throw my arms around his middle in a tight squeeze. "What if you could not hug your son?" the voice said. "For if you hugged him, you would consume him." I'm a hugging mother. So the Holy Spirit taught me with a hugging mother parable. He teaches Ken with airplane parables. I thought, I would probably forget and he would be destroyed. I somehow felt a little of God's position at the fall of man. I thought that I might be like King Midas and forget and touch Terry, and he'd be gone. In a new way, I understood how sin cannot stand in the presence of God, for it is written, Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire.
Yes, amen.
What does he consume? Sin. Sin can't stand in his presence. I understood the precautions of the Old Testament. God's glory stood behind a thick curtain in the Holy of Holies. The high priest alone could enter there once a year in the Day of Atonement. And he had to take great precautions. He had to wear bells around the bottom of his robe and tie a rope on his leg so that if he died when he went in there of the presence, they could pull him out because they couldn't go in, they would die. And I thought about the Ark of the Presence when David, put it on wheels. And they were supposed to do that. And they modernized it, you know. God had given them strict instructions how to have the Levites carry it. But when those oxen in that ox-drawn cart stumbled and a man reached out to touch that cart, the glory of the Lord broke forth and judged him, and he died. I'm sure he went to the bosom of Abraham, but it's just that way with the glory and with sin and rebellion. And so, again, I saw the scene with Satan clasping the cowering man and laughing up at God across the gulf. He thought he'd won. He thought he'd succeeded in separating God and his man forever. Satan knew that Adam, who once delighted in the presence of God, would now be consumed by it. His whining words ran together as he sneered over and over at God. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? I was made to know that God did not answer him. But I also knew that God had a plan. A plan which began in heaven before the foundation of the world. God did not need to do anything now, for he had already done something. You remember Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. The mystery of the church. The New Testament calls God's plans mysteries. The Companion Bible says the English word mystery is a transliteration of the Greek word mysterion. It means a sacred secret.
Oh, I like that.
Something concealed that can be revealed. Some of the mysteries the New Testament speaks about are the mystery of Israel, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of the church, the mystery of godliness. The mystery of the church has many references. God concealed his plan for the church, the body of Christ, throughout the Old Testament. Prophets spoke about it. They wondered about it. Even the gospel writers did not grasp the meaning of the mystery. It was not until they can tell you that Jesus died and resurrected, but they can't tell you why. The gospels. And they can't tell you what was the result of it. And none of that came until Paul went away more than 17 years, and God revealed to him.
Praise God.
In Romans 16:25, it says, the mystery, Paul writes, which was kept secret since the world began. The mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. Ephesians 3:9. What a hiding place. When I saw that vision that day, it was like I didn't see the face of God, saw like a great light and kind of like white robes. And I saw a door, and that door had written on it, top secret.
Praise God.
The mystery.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a hiding place. When I saw the following passage, I saw where the mystery led. 1 Corinthians 2:6-7. 1 Corinthians 2:6-7. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That means mature. It is not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Amen.
Even the hidden wisdom, verse 7, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Glory to God.
Amen. God had a plan that He ordained before He created Adam. He knew he would fall from the glory, and He had a plan to lift him back up into the presence
of God.
Unto our glory.
Yes, amen.
When did He ordain the plan? Before the world. For what purpose? Unto our glory. Listen how strong this verse is in the Amplified. Rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. That is, to lift us into
praise
the
God.
Presence of His glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We headed back for the throne room. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, going on in the King James, we speak the wisdom, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 2, 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Yeah, the wisdom.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
Why does He call that? Because He's going to reinstitute the glory for us.
Praise God.
They lifted Him up on that cross. That's an altar. Mm-hmm. And He died for all the sins of the world. Every little lamb that they put on that altar pointed to Him. So He hung there for us, shed His blood.
Amen.
And if Satan had known it, he would have let Jesus walk this earth forever.
That's right.
He would not have killed Him. But He killed and offered the perfect sacrifice. And the crux of the mystery is stated succinctly in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Speaks about this mystery throughout Paul's letters. But in Colossians 1, 26 and 27, I think it's the most telling of all. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is,
Christ,
here's the mystery.
In you.
Say it with me, Gloria.
All right.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Glory.
Right inside you. Right inside you, Gloria.
Amen.
Right inside me.
The hope of glory. Hallelujah.
Imagine Satan's dismay when the first man was born again.
Don't you know he suffered?
When he saw that the Anointed One came to take up abode inside the man and to become his hope of glory, I can picture the devil replacing his "what he gonna do now" chant with a cry of curses, fall again, and falling over backwards.
Amen.
That's Jesus right. arose. When a person believes in his heart that God died on the cross, Jesus died on the cross, and that God raised Him from the dead, and confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus, he's saved, he's born from above, he's born again. And at our new birth, the process of complete glorification begins and progresses according to the plan as we look into God's Word for His glory and yield Himself to the Holy Spirit. It progresses. It begins in you the moment you get born again. He becomes in you, the Anointed One in you, your hope of total glorification. You and I, Gloria, are headed for total
yes.
glorification.
We're one growing day, up into Him.
One day we will be in the image of Jesus.
Praise God.
Outside as well as in.
Amen.
Glorified bodies.
Glorified bodies.
Whoa.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's go there. And I don't think I have this one in my book. But this just thrills me. I might have it in there somewhere later on, but right now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, I just love this. I just absolutely love this. 2 Corinthians 4:3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They don't know what in the world's going on. They think we're all crazy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded their minds. He has blinding tactics, Satan. And he's blinded their minds.
He's the deceiver.
Mm-hmm. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, Satan's scared of something, the light of the what?
Glorious gospel.
The gospel of the good news that'll get you back into the glory. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of the anointed one who is the image of God should shine unto them. Amen. He knows he's had it in a light, in any light.
Oh,
that
he has
the light
to stay
in
the dark.
Yeah,
he's a
deceiver. You got to keep them blind.
He's a liar.
But look.
Deceiver.
Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, God, who said to that darkened planet with a dismal, dank waters on it, light be, that same God has shined in our hearts. For what reason? To give the light of the knowledge. He wants us to have the knowledge of
it.
Of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. He said, the day you got born again, that little day when you said, take my life and do something with it.
Yeah.
He said, light be.
Amen. And light was.
And light be.
And light still is.
Yeah.
And light will be.
And it's going on and 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 on. And the process of glorification is coming on.
Yeah.
If you turn back over to chapter 3, it speaks of when some people are reading the word and it's like they got a veil over their face and they don't understand it. They don't see it. But he said, we're not like that. We don't have any veil. And chapter 3 and verse 18, we all with open face beholding as in a glass, that means a mirror, because he's going to bounce us off the face of Jesus. We really can't take it straight on. But remember, he's going to reflect it off the face of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We already read. We all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, it means that when we look in the Bible, we're supposed to look at it like it's a mirror. That's really
that's
why
we
want to major on the letters.
That's right.
Because they're the mirror that reflects Christ to us
we see
and what
ourselves
we should be.
Either.
We see ourselves, that's me. In Him, I'm this. In Him, I'm that. In Him, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
But we all with open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed from glory into the same image from glory to glory even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
The Amplified Bible says, and all of us as with unveiled face because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transformed. I've got this down in ink and it's smeared. Are constantly being transformed into His very own image.
So, if a person is studying the Word, reading the Word, putting the word in their eyes and ears, and they're not changing, or they're not getting it, or it doesn't have any effect on them, then they're not doing it right.
They're not doing it right. What they're not doing, Gloria, is looking for the glory.
It. Yeah.
They might be looking for something to fight over.
And you have to let it talk to you.
Yes.
I mean, if the word tells something to do, and you don't let it affect you, you just keep doing what you were doing instead of what you saw in the word, then it's not going to work for you. When you read the Word of God, you see yourself in there.
Like a mirror.
And like a mirror, and you take it, and you say, oh, that's the way I am in my born-again state. I yield to that in Jesus' name. Let the light shine in you. Hallelujah.
Well,
glory,
Gloria,
to God.
Since you said that, it's making me think. We're going to talk before the week is over. How do you put on glory? That's how you do it. Just
let
what
it
you
in.
Said.
Let it in.
Do it.
Let it in
Read
your eyes,
it,
in your ears.
And do
it. Because you think about it. There's buildings full of people that have heard the word, that it didn't change them. They didn't take it.
They didn't put it on.
Glory to God.
Yeah, now listen to this.
That's
in the Amplified.
And we have to always be that way. You don't just do that for a little while. That's the rest of your life.
It's lifestyle.
Yeah, that's right, lifestyle.
Well, Gloria, listen to this in the Amplified. All of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord as in a mirror.
Yeah.
You mean, it's got to change me. I got to look like that.
That's right.
The glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another.
And you just keep doing that.
You just keep doing it? This is the program.
You know, I'd been in church all my life, but I'd never heard any truth. And I'd never had any revelation, really, to any great degree until I got born again, but that after a while. But I didn't have any revelation until after we began to hear Brother Hagin.
Yes.
And then it changed everything. Revelation, seeing yourself in the Word, taking the Word literally.
As if God's talking
That's
to you.
That's what changed everything, taking the Word literally. God is talking to me here. This is what I'm supposed to say. This is what I'm supposed to do. The first thing you know, you're out from under the curse. I'm talking about your circumstances, not just being born again, but your circumstances get in line with the Word of God. When you take it.
And put it on.
Say it and do it. You wear it.
Yeah.
Glory
you put it on in your actions. You
and
put it on,
you know,
in your life.
When I think about what it was like, life was like before we knew to take the Word, it was dark. I mean, you wouldn't think we were bad people, but we were so ignorant. We weren't living in the glory. We weren't living in the light. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, that is so key.
So get in that Word and stay there and let it talk to you and let it change you, just like you've been doing this week, and keep doing it. You know, we can't quit. We just keep going on in the Word and keep growing and getting stronger. Get in a good church that preaches the Word of God. If you're going to a church that you're not changing, you're not growing, get in a going church where you grow. Because life and death. Scripture says life and death in the power of the tongue. You want your tongue to say the Word of God. Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. Living Victory Las Vegas Faith Encounter, Henderson, Nevada, May 30th through 31st with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. The 2014 Peru Victory Campaign. Kenneth Copeland will be in Lima, Peru, June 6th through the 7th at the Eduardo Diwos Coliseum. The 2014 Southwest Believers Convention, June 30th through July 5th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas. You are called to manifest glory, and not just any glory. God's glory, the glory of His presence. The Lord spoke to longtime friend and fellow minister of KCM, Billy Brim, that in 2014, we, the church, must put on glory. We do that by looking in the Word for the glory. We let it talk to us. We let it change us. Change us into His image. Resources like the Glory of His Presence package can provide the direction you need on your glorification journey. The Blood and the Glory book by Billy Brim helps reveal that without Jesus' blood, it is impossible to be prepared for the glory. She also shares invaluable information in A Glorious Church CD series, giving you an understanding of the church's role in the end times. And this book by Richard Sigmund, My Time in Heaven, gives you the sense of being there in heaven from where the glory flows. Christ in you is the presence of God's glory in the earth. Manifest Him everywhere you go. Christ in You is the presence of God's glory in the earth. Order the Glory of His Presence package today for only $36.99 and enjoy a savings of 24%. Clearly understand that God's plan for total redemption includes His glory in His people. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call our toll-free number, 1-800-600-7395. For an additional 10% off, order the Glory of His Presence package online.
The scripture says that Jesus himself, not an angel, not somebody he sent, but Jesus himself bore the curse for us. Now, you might not be very familiar with Scripture, but in Deuteronomy 28, it tells us about the blessing and the curse. And if they obeyed God, they could have the blessing. If they didn't, the curse was just automatic. And I would say, before you meet Jesus, the curse is automatic. I'm telling you, you don't have any way out. But Jesus himself, the Bible says, bore the curse for you and for me and for Billy and for everybody else. The curse of sin, the curse of Adam's treason. Jesus took sin and curse upon himself so that we could be free through him. You don't get free unless you take him as your Savior. That's what it means when you talk about Jesus being your Lord and Savior. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want out from under the curse of everything bad, I mean, if you're sick, if you're broke, if your family's torn up, salvation is an answer for you. The blessing is an answer for you. So just say this after me. Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I take you now.
I take you now.
And in your name.
And in your name.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
I thank you.
I thank you.
I take my salvation.
I take my salvation.
And I believe.
And I believe.
According to the Word of God.
According to the Word of God.
That I am born over again.
That I am born over again.
Really, you didn't even have to say all those words. All you had to just say was, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. When you say that, you get the blessing, you get healing, you get a God that loves you, a Savior that loves you and gave himself for you. All things became new. Hallelujah. We've got a salvation package, a book and some brochures to help you learn about the new birth. And we'd like to send it to you free. So if you'd like to have the salvation package, where you help you learn your Bible, get on into your Scripture and begin to learn, let us know and we'll send it to you right away. We love you. We'll see you again tomorrow. And remember,
Jesus is Lord.
Learn more about beginning your new life in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package today at kcm.org. Jesus did it all for you. It's time to receive His love and live the abundant life God provided for you. For additional teaching and free information on salvation, go to kcm.org.
Marilyn has done an in-depth 30-year-long work on seeing Jesus in every book of the Bible. And she shared this with us. It's one of the most eye-opening, heart-charging things you've ever heard.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.